Well, we're in a series called Never Forget the One. Never Forget the One. I'm new today, Pastor, or I've been gone, haven't been able to be here for the last few weeks. What's that all about? It's all about soul winning. It's all about evangelism. It's all about sharing our faith, sharing your story. You know, Kim talked about being fishers of men. Jesus said, come unto me, be a follower. And what he was saying was, if you're following me, I'll show you how to catch men and women. I'll show you how to win souls, how to share your faith, how to witness, how to evangelize. And so notice, if we're following him, if we're following Christ, we should take on his behavior, right? Whoever you're following and whatever you're following, you take on the behavior of that of whom you're following. Look at your kids, your teenagers. You know, you can pick up, if they get a wrong attitude, it's usually because they're hanging around the wrong kids, right? Birds of a feather flock together. Amen. You become like those you're around. So when we would see our boys growing up begin to act differently in their attitudes, I could always trace it. They were running around with a deacon's kid. I mean, they were running around with other kids they shouldn't be running around with. Amen. So if we're following Jesus, then we want to be a fisher of men. We want to win souls. We want to share our faith. We want to tell people. We want to evangelize. We want to do witnessing. And so that's what this series is all about. There's no condemnation in this at all. No condemnation at all. Because I believe that if we knew how to do it, we would do it. Don't you? I believe we would. And there's no condemnation in this at all. But it's equipping you. And I'm challenging you. When is the last time you led someone to the Lord? When is the last time you led someone to Jesus? And I want to break the lies of the devil off of you. You know, I've heard this, well, Pastor, that's just for the clergy. No, it's not. It's for every member in the body of Christ. I've heard this, Pastor, I don't have the right personality. Yes, you do. There are people that only you could reach. I could never reach. Pastor, I don't have the right words. I don't know the Bible. You don't need to know the Bible. All you have to do is have a story. And what is your story? It's what you were like before you met Christ, then how you met Christ, then how your life changed after you met Christ. And that's your story. That's the good news. And so I'm believing that we're moving into Easter. And did you know that that's the Super Bowl for the church? You do know that, right? Easter is the Super Bowl for the church. More people come out to church on Easter than Christmas or any other time of the year. So we have an opportunity before us to make a difference, to share our faith, to witness, to evangelize. I wouldn't go to a church that didn't teach evangelism. I would not give a dime to a church that did not teach evangelism and outreach. You know, Easter is an outreach. We're spending a lot of money, a lot of time, a lot of work, a lot of social media, a lot of this, a lot of that, to get people out to hear the message that God is for them. Amen. And that's an outreach. You know, what we do at Halloween, our Eat Sweet Night, that's an outreach. Or what we do on the 4th of July with our parade, that's an outreach. Church on the Rock, we believe in not just sitting here and saying, us four, no more. We want to reach our community. We want to make a difference. We want to see our family and our friends come to Christ. Amen. So Easter's coming up. So I want to encourage you to begin believing God for those who you're going to invite and bring Easter weekend to Church on the Rock. Amen. So we're talking about never forget the one, that one that everyone else has forgotten, the one that seemingly the church won't accept, the one that seems to be an outcast, never invited, never included, never appreciated. We're talking about you and I want to remember the one at Church on the Rock everyone else has forgotten. Does that make sense? So we're going to get right into it today. Let's go right to our Bible. And when you come to Church on the Rock, I would really like it if you'd bring five things. Five things? Yeah, you might want to take a note. If you'd bring five things every time you come, man, you would have an experience that would last you for a lifetime. What is that? I'd like for you to bring your Bible. Amen. Thank you, Steve. I'd like for you to bring your Bible. That would be good, right? It's like when you go to math class, you better bring your math book, right? Well, when you go to church, you should bring your Bible. That's our textbook. So bring your Bible. And then number two, bring a notepad and a pen. a notepad and a pen. So bring your Bible, bring a notepad and a pen. And then thirdly, bring your tithe and your offering. Bring your tithe and your offering. And then number four, bring a teachable attitude. Boy, me and Marilyn, we're together on this. I don't know about the rest of y'all. See, I'm helping you. You know, if you were in algebra class, you'd have to bring an algebra book to get the most out of the class. Well, here's how you get the most out of church, a church on the rock. You bring your Bible, and then you bring something to take notes with, and then you bring your tithe and your offering, and then you bring a teachable spirit. And then last but not least, you bring a friend. And you do all five, wow. And then you take ownership of this being your church and not my church. Because should the Lord tarry, I'm going to be out of here, okay? So you want it to be your church and not just my church. And you take ownership when you bring those five things. Everybody say five things. I won't forget. Okay, so Church on the Rock has a mission statement. And our mission statement is this: to lead people to a God. That's soul winning. To lead people to a God who's for them and help them discover his purpose for their life. That's discipleship. You have evangelism and discipleship in our mission statement. Every church should have a mission statement. Every business, you business people, that should have a mission statement. Even in your house, you should have a mission statement. Well, here is Jesus. Here's his mission statement. And here's what it is. For the Son of Man, that's Jesus, has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So we see Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. That was his whole purpose of coming. That's the whole purpose of Easter, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. That's the whole purpose of Easter, is he came to seek and save the lost. So Jesus loves the lost, so we should. Jesus goes after the lost, so we should. Jesus celebrates when the lost is found, so we should. Amen. So that's his mission statement. And once you and I become a Christ follower, the only reason he leaves us here and doesn't take us to heaven is for you and I to go after the lost. That's the only reason he leaves us here. It's not so you and I can retire. It's not so you and I can have a portfolio and play golf and go fishing. That's not why he's leaving us here. He's leaving us here to fulfill his mission. It's called the Great Commission. Amen. So let's move on. Proverbs 11 in your Bible, Proverbs 11 and verse 30. Look what the Bible says. The fruit of the righteous. Now, righteous means those with right standing with God. If you're born again, you have right standing with God. You have relationship with him. So the fruit of a righteous person or a Christian is a tree of life. The fruit of a righteous person is like a tree of life. In other words, your life gives life. Your life brings life. Break it down, Pastor. You and I leave people better than we find them. You and I leave people better than we find them. They're not down after we're around them. They're up after we leave them. Amen? So our life should be giving life wherever we go. So the fruit of the righteous is like a tree of life, and he or she that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth or she that winneth souls is wise. Now, let's look at another paraphrase, the Amplified, and we'll understand it even better. Excuse me. The fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he or she who is wise, watch this, captures. You capture human lives for God as a fisher of men. You gather and receive them, what's this, for eternity. So when we come to church, you know, it's all about eternity, right? We're learning how to live this life so that we can go into the afterlife with the rewards and the role and the responsibility God has for us. Amen. This life is preparing us for the next life. And ministry that I'm giving you right now, the Word of God, is life. It's life. The Bible says it's alive. It's anointed. It's not like a natural book. Everything we do here, all the work of the ministry, is for eternity. It's not for a paycheck. It's not for retirement. It's not for a bonus or a vacation. It's for eternity. What you do as an usher is for eternity. What you do as a nursery worker and a children's worker and a youth worker is for eternity. What they're doing up here, the worship team, is for eternity. What I'm doing right now, it's life or death. It's for eternity. Are you with me? Now, let me break this down even more. It says, he, the righteous, we'll go back to that in the King James, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. If you have a new living translation, it says that the seeds of good deeds bring life and win souls. Watch this now. The seeds, that's the fruit, the seeds of doing good deeds save souls. We're not saved by good works, but we gain the attention of people to get saved through good works. Come on, somebody. In Acts 10:38, it says, Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed. It's called good works. It's called random acts of kindness. It's called feeding the poor, helping the needy, helping the orphan and the widow. It's called our food bank. Yesterday, we have a food bank, a food pantry. It's open every Thursday morning. This last Thursday, they gave me the report. You helped lots of families with food and clothes. What's that? Seeds of good deeds, right? I had a first-time visitor a few weeks ago meet me in the lobby, and she introduced herself, and she said this to me, I'm here today because I went to your food pantry, and you gave me food Thursday. That seed of good deeds brought her to church on Sunday. You know, good deeds, random acts of kindness, or you could call it paying it forward. You could call it, you know, seeing a need and meeting it, finding a hurt and healing it, looking around for a yard to mow, a cake to bake, groceries to buy, a car payment to make, visit someone in the nursing home. Be a part of our jail ministry outreach. Random acts of kindness, taking the bags that we give you to fill up with groceries and bring them back so we could put them in our food. That's seeds of good deeds. So notice here, it says that the fruit or the good deeds of a righteous person brings life and wins souls. So really, doing good deeds can be better than a sermon. I remember years ago, Daniel and I were fishing. We were fishing down in Branson on Table Rock Lake, and I had hired a fisherman, a guide, to help us go fishing there on Table Rock. And I'll never forget, he wanted to know what we did and who we were. We said we're pastors of a church in St. Louis, and we began to talk to him about how he came to Branson, became a fishing guide, this, that, and the other. And so now he knows we're Christians and we're church folk. So here's his story. He tells me and Daniel, I used to have nothing to do with church, nothing to do with so-called Christians. And then he said, my daughter, she got a divorce and had children, and she was a single mother. And he said, this church found out about it and began to bring groceries to her house. They began to mow the yard. They began to help pay her bills. And he said this to us, because of what that church did for my single mother, daughter, and my grandchildren, I'm in church today. Seeds of good deeds win souls. We all can do that, right? We don't have to know the Bible to evangelize. We don't have to know the Bible to win souls. We don't have to know the Bible to lead people to a God who's for them, help them discover His purpose for their life. We just need to be kind, respectful. We just need to show good works and good deeds and look for a need and meet it. Look for a hurt and heal it. Amen, Church on the Rock? Oh, come on. Can we have a praise break? That's good. That's simple. We can do that. So now let's go to Luke chapter 15, our main text for the whole month. And when you get a chance this week, read the whole chapter of Luke 15. It's all about the lost. It's three parables, a lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son, the prodigal. And it's all about the lost. And Jesus is telling parables, which is a story. And he's telling parables to let them know he loves the lost. that he goes after the lost, that he doesn't want the lost to stay lost. Amen. So let's look at it verse by verse. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners to hear him. Now notice, publicans are like the IRS today. They were tax collectors, and the Roman government hated them, and the Jewish nation hated them both, because the Romans thought they were traitors, and they had heavy taxes on the Jewish people, so they weren't included anywhere. They were outcast. They were the ones everyone else forgot about. And so look who's coming to Jesus. Notice, Jesus didn't have to become one of them to reach them. Jesus had a message that drew them. Say this with me. Every member has a ministry at Church on the Rock. And every member has a message at Church on the Rock. So notice, we all have a ministry and we all have a message. What is the ministry? Reconciliation, bringing people to God. What is our message? It's the good news. Good news attracts people. Easter is all about hope. Easter is all about a second chance, a new beginning. Easter is all about things in our life that look dead, a dead marriage, a dead family, a dead dream, a dead career, a dead relationship, being resurrected. Easter is all about good news. Jesus was sharing the gospel, and that message drew them. That message attracted them. It was a magnet. So you have a ministry, you have a message, and your message is a magnet. It should draw people to Jesus Christ. So then drew near unto him all the publicans and the sinners, and they drew near to hear him. Notice, they didn't come to debate with him. They didn't come to argue with him. They didn't come to arbitrate with him. They didn't come to have a council with him and share with him what they didn't like, didn't agree with, what they didn't believe in. They came to hear him. You hear me, Church on the Rock? So the five things I told you we should bring to Church on the Rock was the Bible, and then what was it? A notebook and a pen, and then what was it? Tithe and offering, and then what was it? A teachable spirit. What is that? He that hath an ear, let them hear. See, when I came this morning to Church on the Rock, I didn't look for see what we were going to do wrong, because we're going to do some things wrong. We're not perfect. But I came to hear. Well, if you'll come to this church, your church, and you'll come to hear, guess what? You will hear something. But if you come to look for what's wrong, you will find something. I'm going to say that again. If you come to look what you don't agree with, you'll find something. But if you come to hear, you will hear a right now word that will change your life forever. Amen. So they came to hear, not to argue, not to find fault, not to be negative, not to be critical. Verse 2, but here's the other group. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. That's the religious people, that religious spirit. The Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners, and he eateth with them. Eating back then, having a meal, was a big deal. More than us today, with most of us do fast food today. Back then in the culture, if you ate with somebody, it meant that you approved of them. That you accepted them. It meant that you accepted them, not that you approved them. And so that's the same way at Church on the Rock. We accept everybody, but we may not approve of everybody's lifestyle. Amen. You've heard it. I've heard it. I've been here 42 years. I get a call, Reverend, so-and-so, I work with them. They go to your church. If you knew what they did. And I would say, well, I really don't want to know what they did. Come on, somebody. See, we accept everybody, but we don't have to approve of their lifestyle. We're called to catch them, but not clean them. So let's let the Holy Spirit clean up people, and let's not us take on that assignment. You heard me tell the illustration in this series, growing up in a Pentecostal church that I grew up in, thankful for the church, but they were always trying to not only catch the fish, but clean the fish. telling us what to wear, what we couldn't wear, where we couldn't go, what we could do. They were trying to clean us up on the outside. That's the Holy Spirit's job. That's not our job. Amen. Also notice that the religious people didn't want these outcasts in their church. The religious people, the Pharisees and the scribes, didn't want the outcasts, the sinners and the publicans in their synagogue. They didn't want them in their church. Religious people are critical, they're sarcastic, and they're judgmental. Whoa. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lost one, never forget the one? Soul winning, sharing our faith, evangelism. We lead people to a God who's for them, that's evangelism. And we help them discover his purpose for their life, that's discipleship. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if you lose one of them, will not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after? Notice Jesus goes after. I wouldn't give to a church that didn't care about the lost. I wouldn't support a church that didn't care about the lost, sighing, crying, dying humanity that's going to hell. Notice that Jesus goes after the lost. That's ministry. That's being aggressive, not passive. That he goes after that which is lost until, look at that phrase, he finds it. Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? I'm so glad he didn't give up on me. I'm so glad he's the God of the first chance, the second chance, and a multiple chances. So you and I shouldn't give up on people. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your friends. God knows who exactly to send across their path when they're ready and prepared for it. Amen. And go after that which is lost until he find it. Verse 5, and when he found it, notice the lost has been found. What is your story, my story? I was lost. This is how I was before I met Christ. I found him. This is how I found him. And this is how my life has changed after I found him, right? That's your story. That's your message. It's a magnet. It will attract certain people across your path. And when he had found it, look at this. He lay it on his shoulders. He laid it on his shoulders, rejoicing. That's huge, because they tell us the sheep back then at that time, a full-grown mature sheep was 75 pounds or more. So notice that Jesus, what did he do? He put it on his shoulders. He didn't drag the sheep back to the fold. Come on, somebody. He didn't make them feel miserable for being out of the fold. Am I communicating? Is there some subliminal message here right now? How many churches you know make people feel bad for not being here? And when they do come back, bad for their coming back, right? Y'all with me? Amen. And notice that Jesus didn't drag them back. He wasn't judgmental. He wasn't condemning. No. He picked that sheep up because he loves the sheep. He loves the lost. He loves the one that everyone else would forget about. He loves the drug addict. He loves the prostitute. He loves that person that no one else will accept, no one else will include. He loves black people and white people and brown people. He loves the rich and the poor, the weak and the strong. He loves. He carried the sheep on his shoulder. That's what we learn from that. He carried them back. And the book of Isaiah, it says that he carries you and me every day of our life. He carries you and me every day of our life. Daniel sang a while ago, when we have him, we have all that we need. When we have him, we don't need anything else. And then look what's happening. He's rejoicing. He's rejoicing. Why is that important? Because the religious crowd were grumbling. They didn't want them in the fold. They didn't want them in the synagogue. They didn't want them in the church. It was us four or no more. We're superior. We're super religious. We're super spiritual. And that would drive them away anyway. Amen. So he's rejoicing. So he loves the lost. He goes after the lost. He carries the lost. And he rejoices when the lost is born again. So that's why it's important at our altar calls that you don't get up and walk around, because it could distract someone from being found. It could distract someone. God could be dealing with them right now, and it could distract them. That's the last time you want to get up and move, is at the altar call. Amen. Because heaven, all of heaven, is watching the altar call. Are you with me? All of heaven. Where do you get that at, preacher? Right here. All of heaven is watching the altar call. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Heaven saw the one. Heaven never forgot the one. And in heaven, over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons who needeth no repentance. Oh my goodness. So all of heaven rejoices. The angels in heaven rejoice over one lost person being found. Boy, there's an anointing here today. Never forget the one, that outcast, that defeated, that broken, that disgusted, that busted, that hurt, that offended. Never forget the one that's not included, not invited, not accepted. Never forget that one. We're to go after them, church on the rock. And right now we have a great opportunity with Easter, because God will bring them across your path. And like Pastor Kim said, God will give you and I a right now word. You don't need to know scriptures right now. You've got a story, and your story is a message, and that message is a magnet. And it will draw people into the kingdom of God. Amen, somebody? This is going to be our best Easter season. The harvest like we've never seen before. In Jesus' name, I'm done. Can you give the Lord a big thank you for the word today? Come on, let's thank you for the word today. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Team comes out, online campus. If you're watching today and you say, Pastor, I feel like I've been an outcast. I feel not included, not wanted, not accepted, looked down upon. And Pastor, I hear the good news today that God loves me. God cares about me. God's waiting for me. Pray for me, Pastor. I want Jesus in my life. I want to surrender my life to him for the rest of my life. Or you're a believer, you're watching today, and you say, I need to recommit. I need to get my priorities right. Pastor, I don't know if I've ever led anybody to Christ. Pastor, I don't know. I can't remember if I've ever been a fisher of men, if I've ever reached outside myself, if I've ever shared my faith. And Pastor, I want to do that. I want to do that. That's part of my core of my Christian walk. I want to reset my life. If that's you, punch the button on your device. You're simply an act. Faith is an act. You're saying, pray for me. Here in this room, we're going to pray in the lobby, the family table, the Rock Express. We're going to pray a corporate prayer right now. And if that's you, pray this prayer with us right now. Church, let's help them. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I am a sinner and I repent. I change my mind to go in a new direction. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for me and he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's look up and rejoice with all of heaven. All of heaven.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church on the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for you. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.